alley or in a battle or a storm, and just teach a Sunday school lesson that really just helps you out. But I'll tell you, we got over Romans 8 this morning, and it talks about how we've received the spirit of adoption where we cry, Abba, Father. And I've been going through some things, and the company I've been with for 3 years got cut and lost my job, and been in a fight, man. But I'm telling you, I know the one who's going to take care of us this morning, amen. If God picked up a sparrow that could no longer fly, brushed off his wounds, then watched him soar into the sky, mindful of creation, on this side depend. Amen. For I am his child, and I can place all my trust in him.
I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. He never once has failed to meet my need.
That's right, ain't it?
Is my strong tower, the strength in my weakest there. I can trust Jesus. He takes care of me.
I have prayed some prayers, thought they never were heard. But I held to God's hand, kept right on trusting in His Word. My plan and God's desires, they don't always agree. Oh, but I'll lean on His will, 'cause He always knows what's best for me.
I can trust Jesus. He never once has failed to meet my need. He is my strong.
That's right. Good advice there, y'all. Good advice. Sure is good to see Brother Dave, Brother Griffin with us this morning. He's down in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Seeing him once in a while. Stand up and say something, Brother Dave. Amen. Amen, brother. Amen, brother. Amen. Appreciate that. All right. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Kings chapter 10. 2 Kings chapter 10 this morning. I want to bring you a little thought here from the Word of God and hope it'll be a blessing to you. 2 Kings chapter number 10. I'm going to deal with a little subject that everybody needs in our lives. If you're a Christian here, you need this. And chances are you had it at one time in your life. And I hope still do. If you're in here and you've been saved, you're a Christian, you're a child of God, you need what I'm going to be talking about this morning. And it's something you can lose. But thank God you can get it back. 2 Kings chapter 10. There's a fellow driving down the road one time in his chariot, and he made a statement to this other guy. And look at verse 15. And when he was departed thence, he lighted on Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. And he saluted him and said to him, "Is thine heart right, as my heart is with thy heart?" And Jehonadab answered, "It is. If it be, give me your hand." He said, "Shake my hand, buddy, if your heart's right." And he gave him his hand. And he took him into the chariot. And he said, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." So they made him ride in his chariot. Look in the middle of that verse. He said, "I want you to come and I want you to see my zeal." That little word, zeal. Z-E-A-L. Zeal. Now, I want to preach on that word this morning. The subject, have you lost your zeal? Have you lost your zeal? You say, "What's that, preacher?" The word zeal, the closest word we've got to it in our language, in English, is enthusiasm. Enthusiasm, excitement. When you're really enthusiastic about something. There are people who do their job, and there are people who are enthusiastic about doing their job. There are people who sit and watch a ball game, and there's other people who are enthusiastic watching a ball game. Heard about this guy one time, and he loved wrestling. He watched wrestling every week with a fanaticism. And they said he'd sit on the couch like this and watch that wrestling. And he'd be doing this and do it. And at literally up hollering and screaming at the TV. Like they could hear him. And if somebody walked in front of the TV, "Get out of the way!" Like that. And he would just ride the couch. That's enthusiasm. That's zeal. That's being enthusiastic about what you believe. As John Mitchell said, he said his grandma was the only person he knew that believed the trip to the moon was fake and wrestling was real. But anyway, he said, this old boy here, he came down the road and he said, "Hey, you want to ride with me?" He said, "Yeah, sure do." He said, "Well, get on up here and get in the chariot." And he hopped, pulled him up like that, and he said, "Come and see my zeal for the Lord." Zeal for the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, a lot of churches this morning and a lot of Christians are missing what we call zeal. It's enthusiasm. It's absolute being excited about. Like Roosevelt said, he said, quote, "I am only an average man, but I work harder at it than the average man." Now, I want to give you some quotes this morning as I begin. And one of them said, "The size of a dog in a fight is not as important as the size of the fight that's in that dog." All of us have seen that. Our little dog, it ain't really mine, my nephew, dog Marley. You've heard me talk about Marley. Bless her heart. Marley's the ugliest dog that's ever been, I reckon. Nobody knows what kind she is. Nobody knows what. But I've had people literally pull up in my yard and say, "What is that?" Really, they don't even know she's a dog. She looks like a hyena. Her hair is gray and black and sort of an old dingy color. And Marley, do you know what? I said, Marley, the other day, there's two big old red dogs live down below us, about that high, big old red dogs. And they'd get in a fight about every day for a long time. And the other day, they come running down the hill, and Marley took off running towards them. And you think, oh, Lord, Marley, please, please. Marley, get back here, Marley. And you know, once a dog's running after somebody, you ain't going to holler them out of it. You can holler, scream, whatever you want. They'll keep going, buddy. I mean, they're going. And she was after them dogs, and you would honestly think they would eat her alive. And the next thing you know, Marley, them little bitty white teeth about that long, clamped into them dogs, and both them big red dogs took off running up in the woods. That's true. That's true. And Marley's about that high, and them two big red dogs, you know what? The size of a dog in a fight is not nearly as important as the size of a fight that's in that dog. Now, you know what? We're living in a generation when a lot of people don't have much fight inside them no more. That we're missing a lot of that. Somebody else said this. They said, all, are you listening? Everybody, this will work in business. This will work in athletics. This will work in, if you're in any kind of anything you're trying to do. They say this. All who achieve great things for God have been characterized by a consuming zeal which enables them to overcome all obstacles in pursuit of their goal. What does that mean? That means everybody who ever mounted anything is consumed with a zeal that helps them to overcome. You put that in front of them, they come over it. You put that in front of them, they go over it. You put that in front of them, they go over it. And a lot of people do this. They say, well, I'm really going to do something in my life. And they run into something, they stop. Now, a person that's got zeal runs into something and says, this is in my way, but I still want that. I'm going over it. Now, this is in my way, but I still want that. I'm going over it. Now, this is in my way, so I said, that's what zeal is. It's not in your mind, it's in your heart. It's not in your head, it's in your heart. It's not just, how many Christians have you seen start out, I'm going to church every Sunday, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to live right, and the first time they run into something, just quit. They lack that zeal. They lack enthusiasm. I've been preaching for a long time, and I've been around lots of people. I've been around preachers' groups. Up in Ohio, I used to preach this church, and they'd bring a large group of elderly people in there. And we'd have a senior meeting, and I'd preach to them. I preached in prisons. I preached in daycare, brother. I preached in Christian schools. I preached in juvenile centers. I've preached on the street. And you know who I'd rather be around than anybody in the world? I'd rather be around than anybody in the world, a bunch of young Christians who haven't been saved long and they don't know a whole lot about church and everybody and how right they are and how wrong everybody else is, but are absolutely obsessed with just being saved and living for God and want to do something. I'd rather have a man with a desire any day of the week than somebody that's got it all up here in their head and nothing down their heart. You get a man that's got it down his heart, he'll do something. If it's in your heart, you'll do something. If it's just in your head, first time things don't go the way you want them to, you'll drop out or you'll quit. But if it's in your heart, you keep going. Let's talk about zeal for a few minutes this morning. First of all, I'm going to talk about false zeal. Now, I hate to say this, but a lot of what passes off as spirituality in a lot of churches is nothing more than false zeal. Amen? I mean, we've learned how to go through the religious show. We've learned how to act religious. We've learned how to appear religious. We've learned how to, Lord have mercy, it's very evident. You watch those TV shows and everybody comes out and you'll say, lights, camera, action. The lights come on, the cameras are rolling, and it's just, praise the Lord. It's just wonderful to be here. I wonder how there was a minute before that camera came on. That's the way you know a lot of what's called
false zeal. I don't mean to be critical. I've been in churches preaching revival, and I'd be sitting there, and they'd have singing groups singing, you know, in the count, sit there, and they'd be sitting there like this. Preacher would be saying something, somebody would be singing, and they'd just be sitting there looking down at the floor, messing with their fingernails, you know, everything like that. And I've seen this happen. And I'd be sitting up here, and they'd just sitting there, Lord, you wouldn't even know if they're saved or not. And then the preacher say, all right, so-and-so, y'all's group, come on and sing. And, oh my goodness, they jump up there and get that microphone and say, oh, just praise the Lord. It's just glorious to be saved. I said, that's the same people sitting over there a minute ago? I mean, they're better than last year's bird nest. Sitting there, all of a sudden just transformed into spiritual giant. It's, you know what that is? That's false zeal. False zeal. I heard a guy on the radio one time, on TV actually, and he gone and he said, praise the Lord. I thought, no, wait a minute, man, calm down here now. Do you act like that out there in everyday life? I mean, when you walk into the barber's shop, you say, cut it off a little bit right here. No, I don't think you do. I don't think you act like that on the golf course. You know what that is? That's fake religion, people. That's fake religion. That's false zeal. I was in a church one time, a bunch of people was up shouting. This was a long time ago. And the church had a wing on it. It was about full, so they knocked the wall out, went back that way and made a wing. And I was sitting over here in the wing. So I was watching. I was sitting this way watching the crowd. And people were shouting all over the church. And for some reason, I just happened to notice this woman. She's sitting about in the middle of the seat. And I saw her. She jumped. She stood up like this. And she went, fixed her skirt, you know, and everything. Went, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. I went, that's a strange thing. I thought she's going, I've seen them heels pop the ceiling. I thought, how did she know the Spirit was going to hit her when she got out there like that? And you know what that is? A lot of that stuff is false zeal. A lot of that stuff, make sure we don't need false zeal. Lord, we need amens, and we need some hallelujahs, and we need some that's right, and we need some amens. But don't fake it, for heaven's sake. I mean, that is false zeal, and it's dead, and it's dry, and it blesses nobody. I've seen people, you know, those singing groups are the worst in the world for it. They've got it down pat. They even know the right time of that song they're going to shout. They know the right when to raise your hand. That's a bunch of junk, buddy. I mean, we ought to be real. That's what I like about young Christians. They're just real. They're just real. They ain't got it all memorized. They don't know. Lord, I've seen them when we first got saved. Like a guy said one time, he had been out wild. He was a drunk, and he got off alcohol and got his life straightened out. And I mean, he was so excited about being saved, he couldn't stand it. Jack Hiles went to his church, and he's sitting on the front row, and old Hiles got up there and preached, and Jack Hiles said something good. He got really to preaching real hard, you know. I mean, he come down like that, and that old guy looked up there and he said, you're D right, preacher. But he didn't say D. And everybody went, oh my Lord. And you know, you say, preacher, I can't believe that. But you know what? His heart was probably more right than the deacon sitting over there or the Sunday school teacher sitting over there that said, that's right, pastor. You know, then was faking it. That old boy had it right in his heart. His mind, it wasn't exactly right, but his heart was right. Now, I'm going to tell you, you know what this world needs? We need some Christians that are real. The real thing. The real deal, brother. You are what you are. Be what you are. Be out there what you are in here. Be in here what you are out there. We need some real Christian to show this world there is such a thing as a child of God. Amen? That's right, brother. False zeal. False zeal. They've done got it memorized, you know, and they pray that. I think it's old J. Frank Norris got up one time, and they called on this deacon to pray, and this deacon stood up and he said, our Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we thank you for this beautiful another Sabbath day. You know what? That's what they do. It's memorized. That spooky feeling you get when you hear somebody talk like that. I heard a guy on TV. He got on and he said, amen, amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. You say, well, you shouldn't make fun of people. Listen, ain't nobody acts like that in their right mind. That ain't right, and you know it ain't right. You think that guy goes out on the golf course the next day? I'm got to go get a good shot, brother. I'm shooting 80 today. No, that's a religious put on. That's a religious front. That's what we call false zeal. False zeal is not what we need in churches today. You know what people want to come? When a sinner comes to church, they want to see something that's real. When I got saved that night, I got saved because, brother, that thing was real. God was in that place. I knew it. And thank God that's what zeal is. Now I'm going to say secondly this morning, I'm going to talk about misunderstood zeal. Misunderstood zeal. Sometimes our zeal is misunderstood. You know what they said about the Lord one time in Mark chapter 3 and verse 21? About Jesus Christ. They said He's beside Himself. They said He's crazy. They said He's crazy. You know what they said about our Savior? He's mad. They said He's crazy. You know what they said about Paul the Apostle? One of the most brilliant, dedicated Christians. The most dedicated Christian of his day. They said, Paul, much learning doth make thee mad. They said, you're crazy. You've lost your mind. They said, Jesus has lost His mind. You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to make God cool and God hip and fit in with this generation. I'm gonna drop something on you this morning. When you're really, really right with God, the world thinks you're crazy. They said that about Jesus. That's right. That's misunderstood zeal. Lord have mercy. I mean, you get it's like when you try and you try and you try and you try and then somebody just slaps you right in the face and you try to do something for the Lord and it backfires on you. That's a tough spot to be in. It would be like you ladies. Let's just say you worked really, really hard and you made this little flower arrangement here. Now, the lady that actually put this together is not here this morning, so I'm going to say this. Let's say you put that flower arrangement together and you worked and you went and bought them purple ones and them yellow ones and them blue ones and all them, and you worked and you spent your own money. I mean, them fake flowers cost, brother. And you put it all together and you worked and you thought, this is summer and I want it to look so pretty, and you messed with it and stayed up till 12 o'clock at night and everything. You got here the next morning, you was the first one here, and you snuck in here this morning and put it down like this, and then you just sit back and waited till you seen people walk in and hear the wonderful comments they're going to make, and you think, boy, everybody's going to love it. And so you sit there, you worked hard. You spent half your paycheck on that thing. And you sit back, and about that time you walk in, there's two or three women standing there, and one of them says, who in the world brought that mess in here? And the other said, I don't know, but that's the worst excuse for, oh boy. It'd be snowing you know where when you put any more flowers in the church, wouldn't it? Ain't that right? You'd say, I'll tell you one thing. I'll never put another flower in that church, blah, 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 blah. You know what that is? That's misunderstood zeal. It's like when you try and you try and you try and you try to help somebody and be a blessing, and blam, comes back in your face. That's misunderstood zeal. It's like the guy's going down the road, and he come around like this, and he come around a curve, and this girl come around the curve and almost hit him, and she screamed out the window, and she said, Ping! And buddy, he got mad and shook his fist out the window, and he said, Swine! And he went around the curve, and there was a great big pig about that size standing right in the middle of the road. She's trying to warn that fool. You know what that is? That's misunderstood zeal. You know, see, when you try to help somebody, try to help them, bang, comes right back in your face. You've heard me tell it before. I'll tell it again. This is a true story. You may not believe it, but it happened. Lady called me one time. She said, is this Danny Castle? I could tell by the sound of her voice. I wanted to say, maybe. It all depends. I said, yes, ma'am, it is. She said, I have a complaint. I said, okay. She said, it's this literature you people are giving out. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, Marion had boys giving out all kinds of tracts everywhere. I didn't know where they got them, what they said, nothing. There's thousands of them going. And she said, these people have got my son all to pieces. He's mad. He's cried. I said, ma'am, I don't even know what you're talking about. What's your name? I'm not going to tell you my name. She said, you've got my son to all to pieces. I said, I don't know you. I don't know your son. I don't know what you're talking about. She said, it's this literature you're giving out. I said, ma'am, will you please? And what they done, them boys have been going out tracks out there at the shopping center, and they had this little track back then. I don't never see it no more. It's Christmas time. And they had a track that had Santa Claus on the front of it. And the name of it was Ho Ho. That was the name of the track, Ho Ho. And it had Santa Claus on the front, but he had a pitchfork. It had a pitchfork like this and horns coming out right here. It was pretty rough. It was a little rough of a track. And he had a tail, and he was going like this, you know, that pitchfork. And the whole point was that Santa Claus has took the place of Jesus at Christmas, which is true, right? And the whole thing was, let's give Jesus the glory at Christmas and not Santa Claus. And she was, she's mad as fire. I said, ma'am, she said this picture of Santa Claus with the horns and a pitchfork. I said, ma'am, I'm sorry. I said, we're just trying to tell people that Jesus is the main reason for Christmas. That's all. I ain't trying to hurt nobody's feelings. She said, well, my son's all to pieces. I said, look, lady, just tell him his daddy's Santa Claus. And his daddy gives him his present and everything. Just tell him that. She said, that's the problem. She said, I told him his daddy's Santa Claus. Now he thinks his daddy's a devil. I said, oh no. Sorry about that. I said, and finally she gave me her, I said, let me have your address. And she gave it to me. I went out there to Rose's and bought that kid a Christmas present and mailed it to him. And I never did hear nothing else from him. You know what you call that? You call that misunderstood zeal. It's like the guy who remembers at home that it's his wedding anniversary. And he's forgot the last four. And it hits him. Wedding anniversary. Oh yeah. I got it today. He orders a dozen roses. He has them brought to work. At home that morning, however, things are not going too good. His wife gets up. She's got a busting headache. And she throws a load of clothes in the washing machine while them clothes are washing like that. She got the babies are crying. She's carrying it like that. Bah! Hose bust on the washing machine. Soapy water goes out all over the floor, the linoleum, and hitting into the carpet. She's in there with a mop, lays the baby down. It's screaming. Her head's hurting worse and worse. Phone ringing. Mopping up that water, about to cry. Well, back at work, lover boy has got it all planned out. Oh boy, he's gonna woo her right off her feet again, like it was in the old days. I mean, she's gonna fall in love all over again. Boy, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that back at home. I mean, the youngins are screaming. She slips and nearly breaks her ankle on that soapy floor. I mean, it's a throbbing like that. Heads are busting. Babies are crying. And boy, she has the worst day ever. Old lover boy gets off work. Here he comes up the steps, up the sidewalk, and he's got that bundle of flowers like this, you know, and he ding rings the doorbell like that. And he wants to surprise her, you know. Son, she comes down the hall. I don't know who that is, but I'll tell you one thing. And she opens the door like that, and there he's standing there grinning with them flowers like that right there. I mean, she slams that door. Ah! I hate you! That slams the door in his face. And he thinks, that ain't the reaction that I thought I was going to get. He should have known better than to think how she's going to react. Right, guys? Man should have known better than that to start with. So he goes, ding! Rings the doorbell again. She opens the door and she says, I can't believe you! So here, I've had the worst day of my life. The baby's crying all day long. My head's busting. My ankle's about broke. She said the water's all over the floor. And here you come home drunk. You know what that is? That's misunderstood zeal, brother. That's misunderstood. Man doing the best he can, and somebody don't get it right. Now that's what I've had that happen. Sometimes I've tried my best to do what God wants me to do, and it flies right in my face. I drove all the way down almost to Myrtle Beach one time to preach. Almost between Florence and Conway, South Carolina. That's a long way, brother. I drove down there. It took me over 4 hours. I had to get down there to preach. And it's a big youth group. Somebody got me in. I don't know who there was. Never met these people. And I preached my head off. I done it. Preached on rock music and had that screen set up and everything. And, buddy, when I got through, their youth group crowded around me. I had a woman who was director of their youth. And I was against the wall like this. And they made a circle. And she was pointing at me. And they blessed me out. I drove 4 hours to get there. 4 hours back home. I mean, it was when I got done, it was about a 12-hour job. And she pointed me and said, "You have no right." And the pastor didn't even speak to me. He went walking up down there and never spoke a word. And I just got in my car and I thought, "Lord, I drove down here to try to help." Now, you got to watch out stuff like that. You got to watch out when you're trying your best and somebody throws cold water on you. You say, "How do you get past that stuff?" Here's what you do. Say, "Lord, I've done this for you. I've done this for you. I made those flowers for you. I bought those flowers for you. I preached that sermon for you. And I'm not going to let some cold, backslid hypocrite throw cold water and quench my zeal. I'm going to stay where I need to stay for God and live for you." Say amen right there. True zeal, quickly, has Jesus Christ as its object and inspiration. The way you stay right with God is you got to say, "I'm going to church for the Lord. Not for my wife, not for my husband, not because I got kids. I'm going because I love the Lord for what He's done for me." Yeah. I couldn't tell you the thousands of times I went off just that right there. No encouragement, no money, no way to get there. No encouragement for going or after I've been there. But I said, "Lord, I'm doing this for you, for your glory. You're keeping the record. And thank God." That's maintain zeal. I'll talk about in a minute. You know what you got to do? Everybody would like to have somebody work for them like this. General MacArthur. He called up some of his men and said, "How long will it take to build a bridge? We need a bridge across this river down here to take the troops across." And his second man said, "It'll take 3 days, sir." He said, "Good, do it." And 3 days went by. General MacArthur called him up and said, "Well, have you sent the plans to the drawer?" He said, "Yes." He said, "How's it coming?" He said, "The bridge is finished, sir." He said, "The bridge is finished? I want to see the drawings." He said, "Oh, they're not done with the drawings yet, sir." That's the kind of guy you want working for you. A kind of guy you want working for you saying, "What do you need done? And I'll do it no matter what it takes. If I run into something, I'll go over it, or I'll tunnel through it, or I'll dig under it, or I'll go past it, or I'll push my way through." That's what we need in our church this morning, people. We don't need a bunch of people that say, "Least little old thing. Well, me and my wife had an argument, so I ain't going to be there today." No, no. You ain't going to say, "Well, it's a little cold outside, a little hot outside, a little pretty outside, a little ugly outside. It might rain, might not rain. Might snow, might not snow. We better go to the mountains. It's going to be pretty. Better not go. It's going to be rain." We need some people to say, "By God's grace, I'm going to do what God wants me to do." Maintain zeal. I'll say this and I'm through. It is possible, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to keep yourself at the boiling point. Thinking, praying, and meditating. David said one time, he said, "While I was musing, the fire burned." While I was musing, the fire burned. You will not stay right with God laying your Bible up on a shelf all week and then getting it out next Sunday. You're not going to stay right. You're not going to stay right with God the only time you ever think about God Sunday morning. Ain't going to happen. You got to have that daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you a little story here. A hardware store owner. He runs a business. He owns a business. It's a hardware store. He has 3 boys come in and say, "I want a job." Which one of them is he going to hire? The first one said, "I want a job." He said, "All right, you take this vacuum cleaner down to Mrs. Peterson at 789 Chestnut Street and deliver it. We'll see how you do." Well, he went off and he stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed. Finally, he came back and bought the vacuum cleaner. He said, there ain't no such place as 789 Chestnut Street. He said, I checked back. There's 798 Chestnut Street. And there's 897 Chestnut Street. But there ain't no 789 Chestnut Street. Here's your vacuum cleaner. The next one come out. He said, you take this vacuum cleaner down to 789 Chestnut Street and deliver it to Miss Peterson. The little guy took off. He stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed. Come back. He said, sorry, sir. There is no such place as 789 Chestnut Street. But I'd done some research and I asked the neighbors and they said there was a Mrs. Peterson who did live there, but she's moved away. Thank you. He did better the first time. The next one come up. He said, I want a job. He said, all right, take this vacuum cleaner down there to 789 Chestnut Street and give it to Miss Peterson. He went off, he stayed, he stayed, he stayed, he stayed. Finally, he come back, he said, yes, sir, anything else? No vacuum cleaner, nothing. He said, well, how'd it go? He said, you know, I looked and looked and looked. There ain't no 789 Chestnut Street. There was 897 and 798, but he said, there ain't no 789. But he said, I asked around to the people, and they said Miss Peterson used to live there, but they moved, and he tracked Miss Peterson down and went across town and found out where she lived. Of course, she ain't ordered no vacuum cleaner, and talked her into buying it. There's your man right there. The man you want working for you is the man that says, I'm going to do what the boss says, no matter what I got to go through to get it done. You ain't going to call back and say, it's raining. It looks like I'm going to have a flat tire. It's cold outside. I tried and they wasn't home. No, uh-uh. There's something inside a person's heart that says, I'm going to do it, period. And that's what we're missing in church. I get so tired of people saying, I can't sing the choir. My throat's hurting. Or I got the flu. What do you think I do when I got the flu? Preach anyway. It don't sound too good, but I do it anyway. You can't, if you let one thing stop you, you'll let another thing stop you. And another. And another. And another. And the first thing you know, you won't even be going to church. Have you lost your zeal? You remember when you'd grab you a handful of these? Wow. Preacher said, give these. I'm going to give these to everybody. What happened to that person that you was then? What happened to that person that was on fire? You couldn't wait. Instead of looking for excuses not to come back Sunday night, Wednesday night, you couldn't wait to come back. Remember? I ain't fussing at you. I'm just saying zeal is what we're missing. When you first get saved, you got it all down here and not a whole lot up here. You know what you got to watch out for? You get it all up here and lose what you had down here. Have you lost your zeal? Let's stand with our heads bowed. You say, preacher, I remember the time when I was on fire for the Lord.